Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz today.
February 8th, the White House. Question, Mr. President, why did you share classified information with your ghostwriter? The President, I did not share classified information. I did not share it. I guarantee I did not. That's not true, is it, Mr. Herr?
That is inconsistent with the findings based on the evidence in my report.
Yes, yeah, so it's a lie. It's just what regular people would say, right? Yeah, all right.
Now, the testimony is still going on from Robert Herr, the special counsel. And, of course, this is about the classified documents that Joe Biden had in his possession. Joe Biden, who had no authority to have classified documents as vice president of the United States, as a U.S. senator, had classified documents in his possession. The special counsel looked into this, Robert Herr, last name H-U-R. And what he found was, yes, Joe Biden had these documents. Yes, he willfully took the documents. He comported with this. He was helpful in that when he was asked questions about it. But also, he couldn't remember. He doesn't remember saying that he said to his ghostwriter, oh, here are the classified documents right here. They're right here in the basement, they're right here in the garage, right here, wherever. And then claimed I never said such a thing. He knew he had the documents. He knew he took them. But as Robert Herr pointed out, Biden's memory was of significant issue. He couldn't remember this. He couldn't remember that. He couldn't remember the other thing. And if I charge this man, he'll be seen as a sympathetic old man with a poor memory. And I didn't see how there was going to be a way to have a case that could be successful, so I brought no charges. Tony Katz today, 833-468-8669, 833-GOT-TONY. That is the number. This is happening in front of the House Judiciary Committee. Chairman Jim Jordan.
Mr. Herr, why'd he do it? Why did Joe Biden, in your words, willfully retain and disclose classified materials? I mean, he knew the law. Been in office like 50 years, 5 decades in the United States Senate, chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, 8 years as vice president. He got briefed every day as vice president. He's been in the Situation Room. In fact, you know he knew the rules because you said so on page 226. President Biden was deeply familiar with the measures taken to safeguard classified documents. And Joe Biden told us he knew the rules. Mr. Armstrong said this earlier. Joe Biden was deeply familiar with it. You're exactly right, because he told us when Jack Smith goes after President Trump, Joe Biden says, how could this happen? What data was in those documents that could compromise sources and methods? It's irresponsible. So Joe Biden knew the rules. You know he knew the rules. And Joe Biden told us he knew the rules. So, Mr. Herr, why did he break them?
Congressman, the conclusion as to exactly why the president did what he did is not one that we explicitly address in the report. The report explains my decision to the attorney general that no criminal charges were warranted in this matter.
Now, Jim Jordan goes along an interesting line of conversation here, saying, actually, Special Counsel Robert Herr, I think Joe Biden explains to us very, very well why he broke the rules that he claimed to have known so much about.
I think you did tell us. I think you told us, Mr. Herr. Page 231, you said this. President Biden had strong motivations. That's a key word. We're getting to motive now. President Biden had strong motivations to ignore the proper procedures for safeguarding the classified information in his notebooks. Why did he have strong motivations? Because, next word, because he decided months before leaving office to write a book. To write a book. That was his motive. He knew the rules. He broke them because he was writing a book. And you further say, and he began meeting with the ghostwriter while he was still vice president. There's the motive. Mr. Herr, how much did President Biden get paid for his book?
Off the top of my head, I'm not sure if that information appears in the report.
It sure does. There's a dollar amount in there. You remember?
It may be $8 million.
$8 million. Joe Biden had 8 million reasons to break the rules.
That's pretty enjoyable stuff if you're Jim Jordan. That's going to get talked about a lot. But I don't think that is going to be the story here. Oh, Joe kept the classified documents because he was going to write a book and he was going to get an $8 million advance. So he didn't care as long as he had the information to be able to write the book. Then again, he could have written the book anyway without the information. Could have lied about the information. He still would have gotten the $8 million. So, you know, I can even go back and forth on that. It doesn't change the fact that he had the documents and he wasn't entitled to the documents. He had them. The Democrats in this hearing want to make it all about Trump. Nah, that's just silliness. It's all they do. It's all they have. It's the entire argument. Trump, 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 Trump. It's a sickness. Trump derangement syndrome? It's real. And it is not spectacular. But nothing at all beats this. Pramila Jayapal, and I was playing some of her earlier, playing some of her clip. But oh my gosh. You want to talk about just stunning? I'm telling you right now, if you're driving, hands on 10 and 2, which they say now is 9 and 3 because of airbags. If you have your hands at 10 and 2 and the airbag goes off, you're going to break your arms. I'm telling you right now, I can't drive at 9 and 3. That's weird. 10 and 2, much more relaxing. Or one hand at like 6:20. Just right there. That's fine. That's good. Or at 6:40 in the other hand with a cigar. Am I the only one? No? Okay. So this is Pramila Jayapal. She is the Democrat from Washington State. She chairs the Progressive Caucus. She is what we call in the business. Producer Carl, make sure I've got this right. She is what we call in the business not bright. I believe I have that correct.
That is correct.
Yeah, that's the terminology. This was Representative Jayapal the other day. She is talking to Congressman Thomas Massie. It's a hearing, yet somehow she's giving testimony. Thomas Massie out of Kentucky, who I'm not happy with on the Israel votes. But this is a fascinating exchange about the border. Listen.
We accept illegal immigrants because their climate is changing.
Mr. Massie, if you understood the immigration system, you would know that there are different categories for people to be able to come to the United States to apply. There is an asylum category. There's a refugee category. There is a category for employment. There is a category for being with family. And there are a number of reasons that drive people to come to the United States.
Which one is the category that allows them to break into our country illegally? Because the climate has changed where they live.
Mr. Massie, I don't think that people are breaking into the country illegally. And I just want to say, I think, looking around the room, that I might be the only person who has actually gone through the legal immigration system. And when people differentiate between legal immigration and illegal immigration, the undertone from your side is that somehow people who are coming illegally are trying to break into the country, that are trying to do something wrong, when in fact it took me 17 years to go through the legal immigration system. And I am not disparaging of people who are trying to come to this country for all the reasons that drive people to come to the United States.
We can all agree that that's outrageously precious, right? When I say outrageously precious, I mean outrageous. The undertone from your side is that somehow people are coming illegally or trying to break into the country. Well, then what are they doing? What are they doing? They're just crossing over. They know what they're doing. This is... Did I or did I not say that Representative Pramila Jayapal is not bright? Not bright. I use this as the setup to come to this Representative Pramila Jayapal asking questions of the special counsel, Robert Hur, last name H-U-R, that hands on 10 and 2. Forget the 9 and 3. Hands on 10 and 2. I'm telling you, if you thought the last clip was going to drive you crazy, I'm telling you. Here you go. You've been warned. Here it is.
So this lengthy, expensive, and independent investigation resulted in a complete exoneration of President Joe Biden. For every document you discussed in your report, you found insufficient evidence that the president violated any laws about possession or retention of classified materials. The primary law that you analyzed for potential prosecution was part of the Espionage Act, 18 U.S.C. 793E, which criminalizes willful retention or disclosure of national defense information. Is that correct?
Congresswoman, that is one statute that we analyzed. I need to go back and make sure that I take note of the word that you used, exoneration. That
Mr.
is not a word
Hur,
that
I'm going to continue with my questions.
That's not part of my task.
I'm going to continue with my questions. I know
that
the term
I ultimately reached.
I know that
whether
the term,
sufficient evidence existed such that the likely
you
outcome
you exonerated
a conviction.
I know that the term willful retention has a Mr. Hur, it's my time. Thank you.
She says exonerate. He says, I didn't say that. She says, I said exonerate. I say, you say exonerate. Everybody exonerate. He says, I didn't say that. She says, it's my time. These people are out of their heads. That is insane. She's putting words in his mouth. He's saying, I didn't say that. And she's saying, shut up. I'll say what I want to say. I'm in charge. Dear Lord, I would love to be called in front of one of these committees just once. You think I would listen to someone say it's my time? No. You work for me. It's all my time. You're just a public servant. Now go make me a sandwich. By the way, I would say the same thing to Adam Schiff. Don't think that I'm sexist. Oh, no. Daddy is not like that. Anybody can make a sandwich. I would absolutely say the same thing. As a matter of fact, Robert Hur, the special counsel, had a bit of a back and forth with Adam Schiff.
I need to address something that you said in your prior question. What you were suggesting is that I needed to provide a different version of my report that would be fit for public release. That is nowhere in the rules. I was to prepare a confidential report that was comprehensive and thorough of an
what is in the rules, Mr. Hur, what is in the rules is you don't gratuitously do things to prejudice the subject of an investigation when you're declining to prosecute. You don't gratuitously add language that you know will be useful in a political campaign. You were not born yesterday. You understood exactly what you were doing. It was a choice. You certainly didn't have to include that language. You could have said, vis-a-vis the documents that were found at the university, the president did not recall. There is nothing more common. You know this. I know this. There is nothing more common with a witness of any age when asked about events that are years old to say, I do not recall. Indeed, they're instructed by their attorney to do that if they have any question about it. You understood that. You made a choice. That was a political choice. It was the wrong choice. Mr. Chairman, I yield back.
Gentleman yields back. Gentleman from Arizona, did special counsel wish to respond to that final question?
Yes, Congressman. What you are suggesting is that I shape, sanitize, omit portions of my reasoning and explanation to the Attorney General for political reasons.
No, I suggest that you not shape your report for political reasons, which is what you
did. That did not happen, Congressman. That did not happen.
Everything that Robert Hur did that you didn't like was political. But every time you were able to utilize something and connect it to Trump, that's totally fine. This is where the arguments of people like Schiff and others just fall apart. If the report is bunk, then all of it is bunk. As Hur explains, I had to explain to those who would be reading the report why I chose not to say that no reasonable jury or no one would reasonably, we didn't feel we could convict, get a conviction. We didn't feel that we could bring this thing a conviction. Here's why. And part of it has to do with the mental state of the subject at hand, which is Joe Biden. Well, that was all political. No, you saying that I should leave that out would have been political. No, I'm saying that putting it in is political. That's the back and forth. But they'll still use parts of the report to say, well, he was exonerated. I never said exonerated. We say you said exonerated, so therefore it's exonerated. Thank you, Cleveland. Good night. Man, it's been something else. It has been something else with this testimony that's still going on, by the way. This has been hours now. This is not, what did he have for breakfast? Like, does he have, because I would have to have a snack with me. By this time, I'd be looking for a turkey club, which, by the way, sounds delicious right now. I'm Tony Katz. So I was discussing how inflation is not going anywhere. The numbers show that. You take a look at the Bureau of Labor Statistics. You take a look at what's known as the Consumer Price Index. And you realize that the numbers are trending up. That's what's happening. Consumer prices rose 0.4%, 3.2% up from a year ago. If you talk about core CPI, right, you don't include food and energy, it's 3.8%. Inflation is trending upward. It's moving. It's going to be part of the election season. Of course it is. The story was from the Wall Street Journal about 401ks and how 401ks are being utilized by people like cash machines. They're a little low on cash. They go to the 401k, they grab some cash. This retirement fund. Now, I have heard some people discuss the fact that 401k should just be avoided these days altogether. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Right now in this economy. I'm going to leave that to others to debate. But people are pulling money out of their 401ks. That's exactly what one would expect in this inflationary world. Everything costs more. Inflation is a tax. People need to be able to even things out. They don't have so much of the savings on hand to be able to do it. They take from their 401k. That is an issue. I've been looking at this number since I saw the story yesterday. You know, and I referred to it. I was talking about this on my morning show, which I do here in Indianapolis. And I said, this is the kind of headline that the second you hear it, you pause for just a beat and you go, yeah, I totally believe that. Yes, I get that. Of course they are. It makes perfect sense. Right, goes along the line of how does anybody afford anything? They're you know, robbing Peter to pay Paul. You could utilize that expression. That's what they're doing. They're grabbing a little bit extra from the 401k. Or it might be said differently as savings, but the 401k, the minute you hear it, you take a second, you're like, yes, I totally get what that is. Like you're right there with it. I connect this in terms of problems, the idea of a coming time bomb. With credit card debt. How much credit card debt is there in the U.S.? In the third quarter of 2023, we were at, what was it, $1.03 trillion? Or was it $1.08? It was $1.08 trillion. And at the end of the year, the close of the fourth quarter, it was $1.13 trillion. $1.13 trillion in credit card debt, meaning people are using the credit card for everything, just paying minimums, and they're now dipping into their 401k to cover the extra cash needed. Nothing good can come from that. To me, that is the equivalent time bomb. And bad things is what that shows me are coming. I'm Tony Katz. Because it plays on my computer, but it's not playing for the show.
Did you
check
the connection?
That's the weirdest thing in the world. Tony Katz, you don't mind if we have a technical issue just right in front of y'all? Because Joe Biden claiming to be a capitalist is always the kind of thing that you should hear. He does this a lot. Like a whole bunch. He has the audacity, is really the way to put it, to say, oh yeah, oh sure, I'm a capitalist. Oh yeah, I believe in this. You should be able to keep your money, do all sorts of things. Oh, of course I do. The problem is you're just not paying your fair share, man. It's always that. It's always this insanity that somehow you're not paying your fair share. This was a large part of the conversation for the State of the Union. And I said I would get into it because CNN did some snap polling. It was... like that. That was a snap. Snap polling. By the way, Carl, I sent you the audio. See if you can get it to play. The snap polling, as posted by the guys over at hotair.com, says that they did this instant poll, did CNN, after the State of the Union, and 65% of viewers offered a positive review of Biden's speech. Right? 65% offered a positive view of Biden's speech. And you say, oh, Tony, looks like Joe Biden knocked it right out of the park. As you learn, the previous low was Donald Trump's 2018 State of the Union, where 70% viewed it as positive. I'm sorry, Tony, you said it was a previous low. That's right. That's right. Donald Trump was the previous low, and it was 70%. Joe Biden came in lower than Donald Trump in 2018. When we say the State of the Union will not move the needle, we mean it. Don't get me wrong. It's good for fundraising. It lets people send out an email. Look at how Joe Biden beat up the Republicans. Look at how young and spry he was. Definitely, definitely, you got to call him spry. They raised $10 million. That happened. They raised $10 million. Biden has raised some loot. I'm just saying that the numbers don't show at all that he connected, that he moved the needle, because he didn't. Because he didn't. It's crazy. It's surreal. And then he wants to tell you how he's a capitalist. I love that part. I love it when he tries to tell you this. That he's a capitalist, and he understands you. His hatred of the small business. Have you seen his tax plan? Oh, his tax plan is something special. And when I say something special, I mean just downright awful. By the way, I was able to get it. This is Biden right here. I think this is it. Yeah, this is Biden right here. Listen.
And now it's my goal to cut the federal debt even more by making big corporations and the very wealthy begin to pay their fair share. I'm not an anti-corporation. I represent the state of Delaware. More corporations incorporated in Delaware than every other state in America combined. But guess what? But I'm a capitalist, man. Make all the money you want. Just begin to pay your fair share in taxes.
You understand that somebody who's a capitalist doesn't actually believe in the concept of fair share. As a matter of fact, those two things don't connect. They don't connect. Fair share is not a data-driven number. If I have a product, I sell widgets, right? Pick your widget. And it costs me $2 to make the widget. If I'm able to sell it for $3, okay, I sold it for $3. If I'm able to sell it for $13, look at me. Right? The argument here is, what will the market bear? What levels of competition do I have? What will the market pay for the widget? How do they value the widget? The widget might not mean anything to them. If I've got a meaningless widget, maybe I can sell it for $3. Maybe I have to go back to the drawing board and create a better widget. But if my widget has value, perceived or real, doesn't matter, and someone will pay $13 for my widget, well, good on me. Especially if I'm only making it for $2. If I only make it for $1.75, even better. If I make it for $4, less good, but still not so bad. So there are actual market variables that will determine a profit of my widget. Market conditions that will determine the profitability of the widget. That's data. That is a recognizable force at play. The force is not fair. As a matter of fact, the force never even discusses being fair. Fair doesn't matter at all. Who gives a good holy damn about fair? The market forces are acting. I'm able to make a widget for X. I'm able to sell a widget for X plus an amount. Because the market says so. Fair share is not, I guess one could argue it's not objective, it's subjective. But fair share involves not data, but emotion. Fair share involves someone behind a big desk in a comfy chair who did not do thing one to invent the widget, to create the widget, to market the widget, and to sell the widget. It involves them looking at the widget and saying, 37%. I'm sorry, what's 37%? Your fair share. 37%. I'm sorry, how did you come to that number? Did you see my plush office? That's how I came to the number. 37%. Next, it's the office of fair share. There's no data. There's no possible viable math. There is no market force. There is whoever's brother-in-law decided that they should get the job, looking and saying, that is an obscene amount of profit. You've made obscene profits, haven't you? Well, 37%, 62%, 25%. What can I say? I'm feeling generous. Feeling generous with your money, you understand. Fair share has absolutely no bearing on reality and no basis in fact. It has to do with emotion. There is nothing capitalist about the statement fair share. Equally true, there is nothing capitalist about Joe Biden. His budget goes along the same lines. $7.3 trillion budget. That's with a T, children. $7.3 trillion budget, which includes $5.5 trillion in tax hikes. The capitalist Joe Biden just wants to make sure that the rich people are spending, are paying their fair share. This is huge. Now, understand this comes from the president. This has nothing to do with reality. Very, very often, the president's budget just gets obliterated in some vote, and then they move on doing it themselves, which Congress is supposed to do. As has been discussed, this from Brian Riedel over the Manhattan Institute, this would be the, quote, highest sustained income tax burden in American history as a share of the economy. Just making sure people pay their fair share. It's just another reminder. The whole concept of fair share has no fairness. But these people don't care about that. First, for a capitalist, Joe Biden hates business owners. He hates small business owners, and he hates small business growth. Time and again, when he was complaining at the State of the Union about shrinkflation, I don't get as many Snickers in my bag, and oh, it makes me so angry. I like it cut up in my ice cream. Dairy Queen does it, and they call it a Blizzy. That's not it. It's the Blizz. I do not know why my Joe Biden has become a Norm Macdonald impression. I don't know how that happened, but I'll take it. It's a blizzard, by the way, Mr. President. That's right, a Blizzy Blizz. You got it, sir. You got it. The very idea of Biden being on the side of small business owners is laughable every single time he brings it up. Every time he brings up the idea of capitalism. When you talk about this shrinkflation issue and you're like, we gotta increase corporate taxes. The only person who doesn't know that you, me, and we are going to end up paying those taxes is Joe Biden. The progressive left, I'll expand it. They really somehow believe that the corporation is going to pay the tax. You and I do not have economics degrees, but we know it. We've explained it to our kids. They can raise the taxes on that corporation to 9 quadzillion percent. All it means is we will pay more for the widget. That's all it means. Take a look at inflation. Inflation is a tax. It's all it's ever been. It's all it's going to be. Inflation is a tax. We pay more for the same good and we get no value. And now he's got a budget that says exactly that. And makes the claim that he cares about you. The income tax rate for corporations would go to 28%, and the minimum corporate tax rate would go from 15 to 21%. I'm just saying. It's just the way it's going to go. A 25% tax on billionaires, defined as those with a net worth of $100 million or greater. You realize you could tax those people at 100%. You can tax those people at 125%. You still won't take care of the debt. You still won't take care of the debt. And he has the audacity to say, if we tax these people more, it's going to raise $500 billion over the next 10 years. No, you're going to steal $500 billion over the next 10 years, and nothing will change. Because every year you spend more than you take in. And you talk about how this is going to cut $3 trillion of deficits. What? What are you talking about? You still have to fix the problem of debt. Debt is the issue. The deficit conversation is when we only have a million to spend and we spend $1.2 million. It's a $200,000 deficit. And our deficits each year are much higher than that. According to the debt clock, by the way, our debt is 34. Wait, hold on. Is it 34 trillion? Is that our debt? $34 trillion? Yeah. 100,000, 600 million, 500 billion. Yeah, 34 trillion. Our debt per citizen is $102,594. And the debt per taxpayer, get this one, $266,500. There's a difference between the taxpayer and the citizen. Just, guys, it is what it is. The numbers are right here. No one's denying the numbers, kitten. It is what it is. And Joe Biden isn't even touching the debt problem. But he's going to tax the billionaires more as if it's going to solve anything. Some capitalist he is. I'm Tony Katz. Trying to follow to the best of my ability what's going on in Haiti. The prime minister has resigned. I've never heard his name pronounced, but I believe it would be pronounced Ariel Henry. I don't think it's Ariel Henry. I would assume it's Ariel Henry. Tony Katz, Tony Katz today. You now have gangs that are in charge. Henry's saying, my government will leave immediately after the inauguration of the council. We will be a caretaker government until they name a prime minister and a new cabinet, saying that Haiti needs peace and Haiti needs stability. I'm not anti-Haiti. I just don't know if these things are possible. Haiti has been terrible for years. Trump said it was a blank hole. And people are like, Haiti's great. Haiti was never great. You want it to be. Maybe it could have been better off if people like the Clintons through the Clinton Global Initiative weren't stealing money, claiming they were doing good work for the Haitians. But that's my take. Neither here nor there. I do not know how you make this better. I'm still trying to understand the depths of the issue. I've got more on this. I'm Tony Katz.